Well, it's the top story this morning and will probably remain so as people begin to unpack what's in the 250,000 classified diplomatic cables that were released by the WikiLeaks website. And Julian Assange, the editor-in-chief. As part of our coverage this morning, we're going to be speaking to Julian Assange's lawyer within the next half hour, but we're wondering what you think about this release of documents. An example of freedom of the press? Should it be applauded? Or maybe you do think it was a crime that people like Congressman Pete King argues borders on treason. Or terrorism, as another congressman said. Give us your take. Call 877-8-MY-TAKE or leave a comment at thetakeaway.org. Joining us now is The Guardian's Middle East editor Ian Black and Daniel Korsky, senior policy fellow for the European Council on Foreign Relations. He also writes for Spectator magazine. Good morning to both of you.
Hi there. Morning.
A couple questions for you first, Ian, since The Guardian is the paper that released some of these documents over there in Britain, it's just the New York Times released them here. And I'm wondering what you think about these allegations that The Guardian was the intermediary that provided these cables to The New York Times.
I'm not aware that is the case. The arrangements between The Guardian and other news organizations have been, you know, perfectly open, I think. I don't think there's any question about behind-the-scenes deals. But to be honest, I don't really know exactly how it came about. But what's clear is that, you know, these very respected international news organizations have decided that there is real public interest in these documents and spent a lot of time and effort trying to look at them, to edit them, to put them in context and explain them to our readers.
As you were discussing them among the editors and reporters on what to release and what not to, did you think for a moment as a British paper about contributing to what Daniel Korsky calls Julian Assange's anti-Americanism, that because many of these WikiLeaks releases are focused on the American government, that perhaps it's a bit of a crusade?
I think that it's quite clear that the documents give an unprecedented insight into the foreign policy theory and practice of the most powerful country in the world. It's a unique look behind the scenes, and it's of enormous value in trying to understand how things work. We've taken considerable care, as I believe have all the other news organizations involved, to make sure that names, individuals who might be at risk from publication have been removed from the documents. And we've made those names, those editorial decisions, available to WikiLeaks, as have the other media partners.
Well, that is Ian Black. He's the Middle East editor for The Guardian UK. They have full coverage of the WikiLeaks documents that were released from the U.S. State Department at The Guardian website. Thank you so much for joining us. Let me move to Daniel Korsky now. I was really interested, Daniel, to read your response to this release in which you called Julian Assange the new face of anti-Americanism. Can you explain what you mean?
What I mean is that the principles behind WikiLeaks, as I understand them, was to expose authoritarian regimes and to make progress in the campaign for accountability, accountable government, and transparency. But what we've seen over the last couple of years, not just with this release, but also the previous ones about the U.S. operations in Iraq and Afghanistan, is an organization that focuses predominantly on the U.S., isn't particularly interested in a lot of the other more authoritarian regimes that could really use someone shining a light on their activities. And what we have seen, I think, specifically with this batch, is the heightening of tittle-tattle and diplomatic gossip to a sort of a campaign for accountable and transparent government, which I simply don't see it as. It's very difficult, I think, to escape the conclusion that Julian Assange harbors an anti-American set of motivations.
Well, you were not just a senior policy fellow for the European Council on Foreign Relations. You were also a nonpartisan advisor to the U.S. State Department in a position sent there by the British government. And I'm wondering, as a part of the diplomatic corps, we're hearing a lot of people saying that this is borders on treason, that this is, in effect, some kind of terrorism. Is it that serious? I mean, is there really some real dangers here?
I don't think it's treason, and I can't see how the U.S. authorities can prosecute a non-U.S. citizen for treasonous behavior. So I don't think anything is going to come of that. And in the longer term, I don't see much change happening. Everybody knows that diplomats are honest people sent abroad to lie. And beneath the diplomatic exterior is a lot of covert and often frank and sometimes insulting commentary. That's the nature of diplomacy, and it'll continue to be the case. But at the same time, in the short term, there will have to be some changes, I assume, to the way that the U.S. Vets its officials, allows people access to its classified information. And there also have to be some changes to, presumably, the number of people that have access to this information. And finally, in the next couple of months, U.S. officials will have to apologize their way into meetings with their counterparts and assure them that whatever is said will not be transcribed, filed, and then immediately put on the internet.
Well, you also said in your opinion piece that you feel that this release of documents will, of course, cause the U.S. embarrassment, as you just said, but could help the regimes in Tehran, Pyongyang, and Moscow. How will they do that?
Well, I think if the, you know, now that the Iranians can see the kind of conversations that U.S. diplomats have in the region, I think it becomes very difficult for the U.S. to engage in the kind of necessary diplomacy to stem Iran's nuclear program. Similarly, the North Koreans will be able to see the extent to which the U.S. are struggling to bring China on board in dealing with the North Korean threat. So all of these things brought together makes it more difficult for the U.S. to conduct the kind of diplomacy that it seeks to do in order to hem these two regimes in.
And that is Daniel Korsky. He is a former British senior advisor in the U.S. State Department and a senior policy fellow for the European Council on Foreign Relations. He's talking about the release of more than 250,000 classified diplomatic cables that Julian Assange's WikiLeaks website released today.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.